for the record, SFU fired 32 shots from what I understand, which doubled the shot total that SFU faced. Now I'd like to delve into your hockey journey. When did you start the game?
Where did I start? Like minor hockey?
Yeah, when did you start?
Oh, I started skating when I was 3 years old, playing hockey when I was five, and then I was a goalie when I was seven full-time. So I started pretty early. I started with Coquitlam Miners, so kind of grew up around this area. And my favorite team back in the day was actually the Burnaby Express, who played out in Bill Copeland. So pretty special to get a couple wins this year and end up playing for SFU at this rink, which I have so many memories of.
How old were you when you made a travel team?
I was actually seven, so that was the first travel team I made. We went on a few trips, I think Montreal, Las Vegas, Winnipeg, to name a few. Those honestly got me kind of... those kind of got me further in my hockey career. I got to play with a lot of high talent that is some guys are now playing the AHL, and there's a couple, I think, in the NHL right now. So I think that really jump-started my career from a very young age.
Which team did you play last before coming to the SFU Red Leafs?
I was actually at the Rochester Institute of Technology in Rochester, New York for 4 years before this. They play in NCAA Division I in the Atlanta Conference, and I played my 4 years, got my degree, and then entered the portal as a grad transfer, and then came back home to play for SFU.
Finally, what do you look forward next week when the SFU Red Leafs non-conference team face the Boston University Terriers, a top-ranked NCAA Division I team in Boston, no less?
So I think we just have to take it similar to the way we took tonight. I think we put up very competitive games against some of these Division I schools, and I think just because it's Boston, I don't think we should take it any different. We have to prepare this week, watch video, make sure we're prepared for what they have to offer, and come out with our best. And honestly, the results will be as they may, but all we can do is control what we can control and play our game.
Thanks for the interview. Congratulations on the 2-0 shutout win and the second star in tonight's game.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
So both Red Leafs, both SFU Red Leafs hockey teams are in action today, as with the non-conference Red Leafs playing the Boston University Terriers, an NCAA Division I team, at Agganis Arena in Boston, Massachusetts, with the puck drop at 4 p.m. Pacific. Meanwhile, the BCIHL Red Leafs start in the Tom Harry University Showcase against Southern Alberta Institute of Technology based in Calgary as part of the Alberta College Athletic Conference at Nanaimo Ice Center, the home of the Vancouver Island University Mariners, with the puck drop at 4:15. Here are the current BCIHL standings. 2 points are awarded for a win, with 1 point for an OT or shootout loss. Vancouver Island University, first, 8-3, 16 points. University of Victoria, 7-3-1, 15 points for second. Okanagan Lakers, 6-4-1, 13 points, third. Simon Fraser, 4-3-1, 9 points for fourth. And Logan Lake Miners, last, 1-10, 2 points. Now I'd like to talk about the Surrey Police transition at this time. It has been a very polarizing issue for Surrey, the second largest and fastest growing city, for over the last 5 years. The then mayor, Doug McCallum, pursued a Surrey Police Service, which was approved by the BC government in 2020. Fast forward to 2022, Brenda Locke, who campaigned to stop the Surrey Police Service, became the mayor by beating McCallum with less than 1,000 votes on October 15, 2022. However, Mike Farnworth, BC's Minister of Public Safety and Solicitor General, ordered Surrey City to continue with the Surrey Police Service on July 19, 2023. However, Locke hasn't given up her fight to keep the Surrey RCMP. On October 13th, Surrey filed a petition to the BC Supreme Court for a judicial review of the BC government's decision. the BC government responded as Mike Farnworth, BC's Minister of Public Safety and Solicitor General, tabled a legislation in the BC legislature in Victoria, which are amendments to the BC Police Act, i.e. Bill C-36, 2023, Police Amendment Act, 2023. Where a key change is, municipalities need to complete police transition plans approved by the Ministry of Public Safety and Solicitor General, which directly targets Surrey. On October 25th, the BC Police Amendment Act passed the third reading, with 56 voting for and 27 against. One day later, BC's Police Amendment Act became law after it received royal assent, as BC's Lieutenant Governor Janet Austin approved the law on October 26th. On November 16th, Mike Farnworth, BC's Minister of Public Safety and Solicitor General, appointed Mike Sir, the former Abbotsford Police Chief who retired last fall, as the administrator of the Surrey Police Board, suspended all 8 members of the Surrey Police Board, and removed Brenda Locke, the Surrey Mayor, as the SPB Chair. Surrey launched a second petition on November 20th, this time challenging if the BC Police Amendment Act 2023 is constitutional. 2 days later, on November 22nd, the Surrey Police Union submitted court documents alleging bullying and harassment by Surrey RCMP members in an attempt to become a party to the Surrey's petitions to the BC Supreme Court, which wants to stop the transition from the Surrey RCMP to the Surrey Police Service. CTV Vancouver reported on the SPU's latest court submissions on November 29th, when the SPU lawyer Sebastian Anderson claimed that 36 officers left the SPS due to the toxic work environment, as the Surrey Police Service celebrated its 2-year anniversary of deploying its officers into the Surrey Police operations. The next day, on November 30th, Mike Sir, the administrator of the Surrey Police Board, in the first meeting as the SPB administrator, said he approved a provisional budget for the Surrey Police Service for 2024, which he forwarded to the Surrey Mayor Brenda Locke and Council the same day. Sir claimed the SPS 2024 draft budget aims to hire 180 more officers. On December 11th, Jas Johol, a show host for CKNW, tweeted a picture of a Patterson billboard between 60th Avenue and 176th Street, blasting the Surrey Police Service with the slogan, NDP police transition will cost you more, with the last 4 words in capital letters. On the middle are 3 claims. $466 million over the next 10 years. B, massive double-digit tax increase. And C, less for schools, health, and transit. At the bottom of the sign, it says, find more at ndpsurreytax.ca and paid for by the City of Surrey, which explicitly states that Mayor Locke and her council, led by her Surrey Connect, are using the Surrey taxpayers' money for their crusade to keep the Surrey RCMP, despite talks across Canada to get the RCMP out of contract policing. On December 15th, according to CBC's Bethany Lindsay, the BC government fired back at the Surrey City's petitions filed by Attorney General Nikki Sharma and Public Safety Minister Mike Farnworth in the BC Supreme Court, claiming the petitions should be moot as reversing the transition could create a policing void in Surrey that can spill over throughout British Columbia, as Surrey asked for its RCMP detachment to be prioritized over others in filling its job vacancies, reported by CBC's Bethany Lindsay on December 19th, when the Vancouver Province and Sun's Susan Lazarok also reported on the BC government's response. 1,500 RCMP vacancies in BC, with Surrey being open to prioritizing its RCMP over vacancies in other detachments, among other things. On January 2nd, 2024, during the TransLink's press conference to celebrate the launch of Route R6, which connects the Scott Road Station and Newton Exchange, Locke, whose Surrey Connect has a 5-4 majority in the Surrey City Council, justified the $500,000 cost to fight the Surrey Police Service, which announced there are now 345 officers, 58 civilian employees, for a total of 403 employees on the same day. The next day, on January 3rd, Linda Annis of Surrey First also slammed Surrey's $500,000 campaign, according to CTV Vancouver and The Voice. Now I would like to close out the show with a very long tune, Devin Gray's Most Definitely. tough love.
I'm ready to go.
You're hiking in that?
Of course. It's such a beautiful day, and I didn't want too many layers because I would only have to carry them.
You do realize these are mountains, right? It can go from sun. Thank you.
Dear listeners, as you may have heard, Meta, which owns Instagram and Facebook, is blocking Canadian access to all content created by news providers, including this radio station, in response to the Online Broadcasting Act. Access to local news and information matters to everyone, and while radio stations use their airwaves to keep you informed, we also use social media to share local news, events, and initiatives, and even content about our upcoming programming. We need you to write your MP and convey your concerns. Learn more and find a letter template for your MP on our website. Thank you for your support.
The National Greening Program, run by Tree Canada, is dedicated to planting seedling trees across Canada in BC, the Prairies, Ontario, Quebec, and the Atlantic. They prioritize planting on Indigenous and public lands and planting areas of natural and human-caused disturbance. The trees they plant help filter the air and water and sequester carbon, among other positive impacts. To learn more or get involved, go to treecanada.ca.